And then so tonight we'll deal with another one of these conditions of being a spiritual Christian, having a spiritual life. Everybody wants to be spiritual, don't you? You would want to be spiritual. If you're saved, you ought to want to be spiritual. You ought not want to be carnal. You ought to want to be spiritual. Amen. Yeah, you mean you're saved, you ought to be spiritual. If the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you, which He came in the very moment that you got saved by God's marvelous grace, then you ought to want to be spiritual. And so some things that we must do to become spiritual, and we've looked at a couple of those things, seven ministries of the Holy Spirit. Then last Wednesday night, or this past Wednesday night, we talked about quenching the Holy Spirit of God. Quenching, in other words, affecting the operation of the effectiveness of the Holy Spirit that's living on the inside of us. And in Ephesians chapter number 4, the first, eight verses or so, the Apostle Paul is admonishing the church at Ephesus, and he's encouraging them in the faith, if you will, in the unity of the Spirit. And then we find in verse 8, these are good verses, let's read them. Verse number 7, rather. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, which is it, but that he also descended first in the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, I want to pause and say one thing. What we just read in verse number 7, 8, 9, and 10, we see where the Lord Jesus Christ, when he died upon the cross of Calvary, he goes someplace. He says, Father, in thy hands I commit my spirit. His body goes to the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, but his soul goes to the lower parts of the earth. He goes to paradise, releases those, and he preaches the salvation, redemption message to those that are there. Also, he goes to the... I believe he goes to hell and reclaims the keys of death, hell, and the grave before he ascends to his heaven on high. And that's what we just read. It's what he just said. Now, why did he give us some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers? This is why you have pastors and teachers. This is why this church has pastors and teachers. You're privileged to have a pastor and associate pastor at this particular church. You've got Sunday school teachers that are apt to teach, that can teach. Some lessons are better than others. Some messages are better than others. Some you relate to better than others. But the reason that you have pastors and teachers is, for verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You ever heard somebody preach, and they preach, and they just, I'm talking about, peeled your hide plumb off, and didn't edify you when they got, there's nothing wrong with peeling the hide. Nothing wrong with that, but when you get through with that, you must edify. You cannot to preach on hell and preach it as such you're glad everybody's going there. You cannot preach on hell without, at the end of that message on hell, giving them a way of escape through Jesus Christ our Lord and edifying the people. And that's what you have pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. And that's not, that doesn't mean that you become perfect. That means you come mature. Mature of the saints, maturity of the saints, the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, I'll tell you this. I try not to shear sheep. They say you can only shear sheep about twice a year. Aren't you glad of that? They can't stand more than that. And so when you go places, when I go preach revivals, I go to edify. I let the pastor do the shearing of the sheep. He knows his own sheep. He can do his own shearing. Don't bring me in to try to solve your problems. Amen. If you want me to come preach revival, I'm going to edify the saints. Amen. This has nothing to do with the message, but anyway, I thought I'd tell you that. for the edifying of the body, verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, maturity, unto the measure of the stature, that's conformity, of the fullness of Christ. Why? That we henceforth be no more children. You know, a lot of churches, that's all they got, a church full of children. Now, I'm not talking about children as of age, I'm talking about children as spiritual age. Amen. Babes in Christ. Be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love. When a preacher is to preach, he's to preach the truth and preach it in love. Why? That you may grow up into Him in all things. Sometimes we just need to grow up. Which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You know what that means? That means every one of us, this particular Holy Oak Baptist Church is a local representation, a physical representation, or should be, of the body of Christ. You know what that means? That means we all ought to be fitly joined together. That means some of you are the hand, some of you are the foot, some of you are the nose, some of you are the eyes, and some of you are the ears, and whatever else you do, and some people are the mouth. Huh? And a lot of times we got more mouth than we do anything else. I said that in love. Sometimes we got a whole lot of mouth and it gets us in trouble, and then all of a sudden we're not fitly joined together. We become separated. But what do we do? Listen, if you come to a stop sign and your feet and your mind and your hands don't work together, you'll run that stop sign and have a wreck. You approach a stop sign, your mind says, hands, grab the steering wheel, hold it straight, and tell your foot to push on the brake. If the foot says, I ain't doing it, nobody tells me what to do. I'm my own person. The head ain't going to tell me what to do. The hands ain't going to tell me what to do. I'm going to do what. And the hand says, well, I tell you what, I'll just turn right before we get to the stop sign. How you like that? And you're going to be what? You're going to be in a mess. Why? Everybody's got to fitly join together, do their part, and cooperate one with another. So we can stop at a stop sign. Without having a wreck. That has nothing to do with the message. Now, look here at verse number 22. Then he goes on and he talks about what we are to do to be spiritual. He says that you put off, underline that, put off concerning the former conversation, conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Put off. Notice, put off. Verse 23 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And then verse 24 says, and that ye put on. So 22 says, if we want to be spiritual, that's what we want to be. We want to be spiritual. Number one, we got to put off the old man. Put off the old man. Stop all the foolishness. Old man, carnal, carnality, baby Christians. Put off that. Get rid of that, and what am I supposed to put on? The new man, which is after God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. How am I going to do that? Well, guess what you got to do? Wherefore? Putting away lying. Y'all got your Bible? Look at that. Put away lying. Put your way. Stop your lying. Well, that'd be good to park right there for a minute. Would now listen, I know none of y'all lie. I know you don't. It's other churches that do that. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. Sometimes I have a hard time doing that. I do. Oh, I'm just kidding. For we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Boy, that's a tough one to do. Me and Tracy, we'll get after it, man. Well, I'm telling you what, we'll get the fighting carrying on. Don't look at me like y'all don't do that stuff. Y'all fight? Some of you did this afternoon. Probably. I don't know. The Lord just give me a word of knowledge. Some of y'all fought this afternoon. Hey, let not the sun go down on your wrath. What did he say? Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. Some of you been stealing? Stop it. You want to be spiritual? Stop stealing. Stop lying. But rather let him labor. Hey, don't steal. Work for it. Work with his hands the thing which is good, and that he may have give to him that needeth. Oh, my goodness. Verse 29. We're talking about being spiritual, right? We are talking about being spiritual. We want to be spiritual, don't we? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Now listen, that strikes home. That strikes home behind the pulpit. That strikes home should everywhere. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. All right? But that which is good to use of edifying. Listen, you know what that verse just told me? It hits home. It hits me right here. Says, listen, if you can't edify nobody, close your mouth. That's what it means in the Greek. If you can't edify nobody, and everything comes out of your mouth is corrupt communication, then close your mouth. Ain't we having fun tonight? I told y'all shouldn't have come. That it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now guess what? Everything I just said in the last 10 minutes has nothing to do with, well, it does a little, but I ain't even got to the message yet. Here's the message in verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. That's a good place to say amen. I'm glad I'm sealed. I'm glad the Holy Spirit moved in. He backed that U-Haul trailer up to me and unloaded, and he moved all my junk out, and he took residence on the inside of me, and he's living there, and it's not a force, it's not a wind, it's not a tree, it's not a dog or a cat. It's a real live person living on the inside of me. Listen, you can't grieve a tree. You can't grieve a dog. I'd like to grieve some. Some cats, I'd love to grieve some, but you can't. They're not real people. I know some of you think they're real people, and I know when they die, you think they're going to heaven. But they don't have a soul. I've never seen a dog come down here and get saved. Maybe yours did. I don't know. Maybe they got saved at home. You let them through the prayer or whatever. But dogs and cats just don't do that. But a real person can be grieved, and the real person lives on the inside of you, and it's called the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of you. And he says this, what the Apostle Paul say? He said, stop grieving the Holy Spirit of God. He said in verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed to the day of redemption. What's grieving? What does that mean? We looked at last week, quenching the Holy Spirit. Now, let's look at grieving. What is grieving? To make sorrowful. To affect with sadness and causing grief. Another definition of that is to offend. Now listen, I know... when we have people that we truly love, watch now, watch. We're talking about being spiritual. When we have people we truly love, our wives, we are to truly love them with all our heart, soul, and mind. Say amen, men. Three of them. Boy, y'all ain't getting no supper. Wives, you're to love your husband with all your soul, heart, and mind. Ladies, amen. That's about two that time. Lord, y'all in trouble now. I'm telling you, y'all want to be spiritual now. You got to love. Now, if I love it, my mom and dad, mother and dad, you ought to love them with all your heart, soul, and mind. Would you agree with that? Can we all agree with that? If you don't love your wife, you don't love your husband, at least we can love mom and daddy. Do you do everything within your power not to grieve not to offend, not to cause grief on those that you truly love. Do we not do that? It is my job. I set out never to grieve my mother and dad. Never to grieve my wife. Sometimes it happens, but that's not my purpose when I wake up in the morning. Never to offend, because why? They're so close to your heart and you love them with all your heart, soul, and mind. Then why do we not give them as much attention to grieving the Holy Spirit of God? We grieve the Holy Spirit of God and He never gives us a second thought about grieving Him, about offending Him, about causing grief to Him. Why? Because we think it's Casper the Friendly Ghost that lives on the inside of us and not a real live person. Listen, I'm trying to get this over to you. A real live person lives on the inside of you if you are saved by God's marvelous grace. Grieving the Holy Spirit of God. What's our text say? It says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Now, three conditions of true spirituality. We dealt with one of them this past Wednesday night, quenching the Holy Spirit of God. Number two is tonight, grieving the Holy Spirit of God. And hopefully this coming Wednesday night, walk in the Spirit. Those three conditions will make you a true spiritual person. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Paul is saying, stop. Why did he say stop grieving the Holy Spirit of God? Obviously, there were some people in this church at Ephesus were stealing. He told them, stop your stealing. They must have been doing some lying in there. You mean the church at Ephesus? Yes, they wasn't perfect people. I know Christians that lie. I know Christians that don't do what they're supposed to do. Well, let me rephrase this. I know saved people that don't do what they're supposed to do. I know saved people that lie. Now, not all saved people are Christians. Not all saved folks are Christians. Because what? Christian is Christ-like. I know some saved people don't act like Christ. They say they're saved, but they sure don't act like they're saved. Huh? Yeah. We want to be Spirit-filled. We want to be spiritual, if you will. Now, here we go. Threefold principle. We talked about it Wednesday night. Here it is. Christians are God-ordained to live every moment of their lives with the Holy Spirit of Christ or the Holy Spirit of God living on the inside of them. Number two, if that is so, then there must be a union between you and the Holy Spirit. Remember we told you this? We give the illustration. There's a difference in union and unity. A difference in union and unity. You take two alley cats, tie their tails together, throw them over a clothesline. You got union. You don't have unity. Just because two people are married, they got a union, but there may not be no unity there. I know that's a double negative, just for those of you that are counting. There may be union there, but there may not be unity. Hey, Holy Spirit lives on inside of you. There is a union between you two. But not always is there unity with you and the Holy Spirit. Now, what we want to do tonight is try to fix that. How can I get that unity but with Christ? Now, number three, that threefold principle is this. This is where we're going to get to tonight. Every one of you, including this preacher, walked in the building tonight. Ready? Walked in the building tonight with the Holy Spirit. If you're saved. Now, I'm just assuming everybody's saved, and I hope you are. If you're not, you can get saved tonight. But if you're saved, He lives on the inside of you, you walk through them doors or through that door right over there, including this preacher, with a grieved Holy Spirit living on the inside of you or an ungrieved Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. I knew it was going to get quiet. But there's only two ways. You either got a grieved Holy Spirit, you've either got an offended Holy Spirit, you've even got a caused grief Holy Spirit living on inside of you, or you've got a Holy Spirit living on inside of you that is ungrieved. No middle ground. Now, where does that leave us? That leaves a lot of us in trouble, don't it? Now, the Bible talks a lot about sin. I know you don't hear that on the television much, and you don't hear that from the television preachers much, because they'll kick you off the television if you talk about sin. And I'm glad we still have a church and we still have a Bible that talks about sin and calls sin like it is to men as they are. And the Bible says sin, in 1 John chapter number 5, I said sin is a transgression of the law. A transgression of the law. You know what James said? James said this, for a man that knoweth to do good and do it not, to him it is sin. That's sin. I believe James says this, if a man keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Sin, transgression of God's law, everything that is against God's law. Let's break it down like this. Sin is the very opposite of any true manifestation of the Holy Spirit of God living on the inside of you. It's right the opposite. Everything that is opposite the manifestation of the Holy Spirit of God living on the inside of you, that is sin. Grieving the Holy Spirit of God. How do we grieve the Holy Spirit of God? Here it is. Write it down, remember it. Write it on the refrigerator, whatever you need to do. But remember this, how do we grieve the Holy Spirit of God? By not dealing with unconfessed sin in our life. That's how we grieve the Holy Spirit of God. By having unconfessed, undealt with, sin openly in our heart and life, that grieves the Holy Spirit of God. That offends the Holy Spirit of God. That causes grief to the Holy Spirit of God. And you know how it would be if you lost a loved one. You lost a spouse. You lost a husband. You lost a wife. You lost a mom, a dad, a child. How would it be for a mom to lose a child? How much grief would go on the inside? It would be like it would just rip their heart plumb out of their chest. Think about how the Holy Spirit feels when we sin against Him and it does not faze us one bit to get it right with Him. Get it right with Him. It tears His heart plumb out of His chest and it grieves Him beyond measure. That's why Paul said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. You people, stop sinning. Stop your lying. Stop your stealing. Stop bearing false witness. Stop backbiting. Stop sowing discord among the brethren. Stop gossiping. Come on now. For a minute there, I thought y'all had left and just left pictures of yourself sitting in the pew. He said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. You said, and I said, we as Holy Hills Baptist Church, we want to be spiritual, don't we? We say we do, but are we willing to do what it takes to become spiritual? What has he got to do? We're going to have to deal with sin in our lives. You say, preacher, I've never killed nobody, never stole, never done this. Hey, when's the last time you picked up the phone and said, girl, let me tell you what so-and-so did today? I don't know if you know this, that's sin. S-I-N, I in the middle, and you involved. Huh? Gossip, backbiting. Say one thing to one over here and then turn around and bite them right in the back. Stab them. I'm talking about stab them. Grieves the Holy Spirit of God. Sowing discord among the brethren. Boy, that's a good one. Sowing discord among the brethren. Telling somebody, listen, Rusty, you won't believe what your brother said about you. I didn't know he felt this way about you. Sowing discord. And what it is, I'm sowing the discord and then watch them fight it out. And probably it wasn't even never said to begin with. Sowing discord among the brethren. Hey, God looks at that sin just like killing somebody. Come on now. Sin is sin. There's no white sin, black sin, gray sin, middle sin. Come on now. Sin grieves the Holy Spirit of God. What is sin? Well, everything that is against God, the transgression of God's law in that book, grieving the Holy Spirit of God, it tears the inside of his heart out. Now, let's look at some things here. We talked about being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We notice there is a progression of being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I know the Holy Spirit comes in, He lives in you one time. I understand that. But there is a progression. There's a filling. There's a daily filling. John chapter number 2, you had Jesus turning the water into wine and He filled the water pots with water. I don't know how big the containers were, but He filled those water pots with water. Then you go to John chapter number 4 and you find Jesus at the well. And He says, if you drink this water, you're going to thirst again. But if you drink of this water that I shall give, ye shall never thirst again. So He goes from water pots to being a well. And then in John chapter number 7, he says, in your belly shall be rivers of living water. There is a progression, and he wants you to and I to get to that stage, to where we're overflowing and being filled with the Holy Spirit of God and not grieving the Holy Spirit of God. And the only way to do that, my friend, is to stop and suppress our sinning. Amen. Now listen, we all believe, listen, everybody in this building, you know, this is what we say. Now preacher, you know God does not expect us to be perfect because all are sinners. How many times have we heard that? That's a true statement. All of us are sinners. But you know what? I don't believe that we have to sin as much as we do. I think we use that excuse sometimes. Well, I'm just an old sinner. Saved by grace. God, you know, you created me this way. And I'm going to be this way till I get rid of this old flesh. So we might as well enjoy our sinning. Come on now. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. You say, preacher, is that a real person living on the inside of me? It was in Acts chapter number 5 when Peter said, why hast thou lied to the Holy Ghost? Listen, you can't lie to a tree. You can't lie to a car. Listen, it don't work. You lie to a real live person. And that real live person lives on the inside of you. It's not Casper the Friendly Ghost that lives on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit can be insulted. Now, Bible says he can be ignored. Now, think about this. How many of y'all in this predicament and like me? Listen, can I stop metal just a minute? Call waiting is the worst thing ever invented on the face of this earth. You can't talk to three people at the same time. Now, if I'm talking to you, and all of a sudden this happens. All of a sudden this happens. Can you hold on? You know, hold on. I got another call coming in. And you put me on hold to talk to somebody else. And what they should do, they should scratch that out on your phone and scratch the hold out and put ignored. Because what you told me is you said, Jeremy, I'm gonna put you on hold. I'm gonna ignore you for a minute. I'm gonna talk to somebody. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm hanging up. And I'll call you right back and see if you put that other bird on hold. Crazy thing they're invented. If a line's busy, just call back when I'm through this other person. And that's not in the Bible. That is a personal standard. Nowhere in the Bible does it say anything about call waiting. That's my personal standard, my personal conviction. I don't like it. And you know what the Holy Spirit does? He don't like it either. Because what happens is the Holy Spirit's got us, and man, we are being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and all of a sudden there's another call coming in, and it's from the spirit of witchcraft. It's from the spirit of Satan himself. And he says, he's dialing in your number, and all of a sudden you tell the Holy Spirit, say, Holy Spirit, hang on a minute. I got another call coming in. And he does like I do. Hangs up. Just call me back when you got time for me. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Don't ignore Him. Do not ignore Him. The Spirit that dwells, James chapter 4 and verse 5, the Spirit that dwelleth in us, lusteth to envy. He wants to do a work in you. That's what it means. He wants to do His job in you. He wants to fill you. He wants to teach you. He yearns to be inside of you and be your comforter. He longs and He craves to be with you in fellowship and be your encourager. What grieves the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit's grieved when known sin is tolerated in the life of a Christian. Known sin is tolerated in the life of a Christian. When sin enters into your life, listen. The Holy Spirit has two ministries in you. He's got one He tries to work through you. And as long as you're on His side and He has full control and full reign, He can work through you. But when sin enters that life, He has to stop that ministry of working through you, and now He has to work and starts His ministry of working to you. and he starts pinpointing to you what is causing this friction between you and the unity that you had between the Holy Spirit of God. When sin comes in, it breaks the unity. You have union, but it's like those two cats over the clothesline, they fighting. Why? Because there's no unity there. There's something in between them that needs to get fixed. And it's called what? S-I-N. Sin. Don't dress up sin. I heard about D.L. Moody. I read a story about D.L. Moody. He's witnessing to this fellow down in the courthouse square. And he was old drunk, old town drunk. And old town drunk went up to D.L. Moody and said, listen, I want you to pray with me. Preacher, man, I can't give this stuff up, man. D.L. Moody said, listen, you want to pray to God about it? He said, yeah, I want to pray right now. So D.L. Moody, they got down on the park bench there right in the middle of downtown Chicago. And the fellow, D.L. Moody said, now pray, ask God to deliver you. So the fellow starts in. God, you know how strong that stuff is. God, you know how weak I am. So D.L. Moody just popped him in the back of the head and said, boy, hush, tell him you're a drunk. Just be honest with him. Tell him you're drunk. Tell him you're a sinner. Don't try to dress it up and explain it to him. He knows it. Just tell him you're a drunk. That went over good. Now, what do? We got sin. Grieving the Holy Spirit of God brings sin. Sin grieves the Holy Spirit of God. Now, we have a twofold purpose. Here we go. Ready? Twofold purpose. Number one, He has provided for the prevention of sin. He has provided a way. Jesus Christ, God Almighty, has provided a way that I don't have to sin. You know where it's found? Psalm 119. Look at it. Psalm 119. Write this down. Remember it. Psalm 119. I think it's verse 11. Let me see. Psalm 119, verse number 11. Here we go. 119:11. Psalm. Ready? Verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not, what? Sin against thee. God Almighty has given us a preventative measure from sinning, and that is to do what? Hide His Word in our heart that we might not sin against God. Now listen, ready? There is a difference in committing verses to memory in the mind and hiding them in your heart. I'm not trying to brag, but I can quote some verses. But what you really want to know is how many of those verses, preacher, that you can quote has been hidden and committed to thy heart. You see. You can quote the whole Bible, and that doesn't make you spiritual. How much of it are you applying to your life? How much of that word that you have memorized has moved from your mind down to your heart? Thy word have I hid in my mind? No, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. That is the preventative maintenance for sin. That's why, what did Jesus Christ do? I've given this illustration before. You know it. Satan tempts the Lord Jesus Christ. How does God respond? He responds by quoting the Bible. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every temptation that comes to Jesus Christ, He quotes a verse. He says, it is written. It is written, and I mean just cuts old Satan to slitherings. And the reason a lot of Christians live defeated lives is because when Satan comes and knocks on their door, they put the Holy Spirit on hold, and they have nothing to combat Satan with. They may have it in their mind, but it's never committed to their heart. Ain't we having fun tonight? Twofold provision. He has provided a preventative tool We don't have to sin. But guess what? 1 John chapter number 2 is still in the Bible. What? Let's look at it. 1 John chapter number 2. We're headed down to the close. Watch. 1 John chapter number 2. 2-fold purpose, 2-fold provision. What we say? He's provided the Word of God to prevent us from sinning. That's purpose number one. Purpose number two is, preacher, what do I do if I sin and neglect the Word of God and I go ahead and sin anyway? What happens now? Well, God's got us covered there as well. Notice here in verse John, chapter number 2, and verse number 1. He says, my little children, these things write I unto you, what? That you sin not. You know what Jesus, you know what God says? He says, I had rather that you sin not. That's my desire. I've given you my word to prevent you from sinning. I wish you would sin not. Watch. He gives a provision. And if any man sin, now what did you just tell us? He says, my purpose, my provision is that you not sin. Because sinning grieves the Holy Spirit of God living on the inside of you. But in his next statement, he says this, and it's implied. But I know you're going to, because we're all sinners. Amen. Agreed, we don't have to sin as much as we do. I believe that. But he says, my preventative tool is the Word of God, and I wish you wouldn't sin. But, watch your Bible, if any man sin, we have a Pope in Rome. Come on now. I'm not being ugly. Y'all look at me like I was just ugly. I just misquoted the verse. I didn't do anything any different than most television preachers do. Ain't we having fun tonight? I am. If any man sin, we have a Mary that we can go to and count whatever them things are, beads or whatever they are. What does it say? It says, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. We've got somebody. We've got a go-between. Advocate. You know what advocate is? It's a courtroom term. Lawyer. When a person represents you in the court of law, he is your advocate between you and the judge. I'm about to enjoy my own preaching. See, you don't know much about the law. We say we know a lot about the law, but we really don't know much about the law. So if you're going to go in the courtroom and stand guilty before God, sin, we're guilty. We're guilty of lying. Amen. We're guilty of backbiting. We're guilty of gossiping. Come on now. We're guilty. So you know what you need? You better get you a good lawyer. You better get you a good advocate. And the best one I know, you know, these lawyers, they say they know the Tennessee Code annotated. They say, man, we know. And the best thing you can do when you get in trouble is find the one that knows the law the best. Knows all the loopholes. But you know what? The advocate that I got, look. We have an advocate with the Father. Who is he? Jesus Christ the righteous. I got the best lawyer in town. He wrote the book. If nobody knows it, he knows it. Now, you can come and come to the courtroom with the Pope or Mary if you want to, but they don't know the law like Jesus Christ knows it. He wrote the law. He wrote it. He knows it. If I'm going to have any answer from the courtroom of heaven, I must have this advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Ain't that good? Well, that's good, ain't it? Now, look at, if you will, watch this. chapter 1. Peel back just there for a minute. Verse 8. Chapter 1, verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, that means if I ask for a show of hands tonight, which I'm not, if I ask a show of hands, said, how many of you hadn't lied since you've been saved? And anybody in the building raises their hand, the Bible says you're a liar and the truth ain't in you. Verse number 9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. I'm glad He didn't stop right there. There's a big difference in forgiving and cleansing. He said, forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, if we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word's not in us. I've had people say they ain't sinned. They ain't sinned. I ain't sinned since I got saved. They're a liar. They're a liar. They're a liar. According to the Bible now, I'm not judging. The Bible judges them. But notice He says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to cleanse us, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, number one, and to cleanse us from all righteousness. Let me give you a personal illustration. It's probably happened to you. You tell your kids. You dress them up for Wednesday night church or Sunday morning, whatever, and it's rained the night before, and there's a mud puddle out there. How many know where I'm going? Something about kids, mud just jumps on them. They don't have to step in the puddle, it just jumps out and gets on them. I don't know why it is, but they just come in and all of a sudden this puddle just jumped up and got on top of them and just covered from head to toe and they didn't do nothing. And they come in crying their eyes out knowing they've been to get a beat of their life. And they come in and say, oh, Daddy, Mama, I'm telling you, I didn't do it. I didn't mean to. And then what do? Well, sometimes we beat tired of them. It's all that according to how we feel. Sometimes we don't feel like beating them. We just say this. Listen, I forgive you. I forgive you. I know you're sorry. I forgive you. Now get in the car. Let's go to church. Man, you can't send a kid to a church covered from head to toe in mud. Not only did He forgive you, I'm enjoying my own breaks again. Not only did He say, I forgive you, but He gave me a new change of clothes and He run me through the car wash. He said, forgive you and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Ain't that good? I'm glad I've got a preventative tool that I don't have to sin, and that's to hide these words in my heart that I might not sin against God. But guess what? Your preacher is still, as long as he's in his body, listen, we're going to sin. I understand that. We've already made that statement. I don't believe we have to sin as much as we do, but sometimes we don't follow His word and we grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And He says, if you grieve the Holy Spirit of God, what are you to do? Confess your sins. We have an advocate with the Father. That's provision number two. If you don't follow provision number one, He's got provision number two laid up there to catch you. And that doesn't give you a license and you sign, you put in your wallet like a driver's license to sin. Oh, I've been forgiven. Hallelujah, I can sin. Use not your liberty in Christ for occasion to the flesh. We have liberty in Christ, but that doesn't mean it gives us a license to go out and do what we want to do. Amen. Come on now. Holy Spirit lives on the side of you. And He says, if we do provision number one, if you don't do provision number one, you got provision number two, and that's Jesus Christ the righteous. He'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Ain't that good? Well, I got several more, but I think we've covered enough for tonight anyway. No amens, please. Now let me suffice it to say this. He gives us four ways to cure sin in our life. I'm going to give them to you real quick, give you the verses, you read them when you go home, and we'll go find us a place to fellowship. Number one, 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse number 31. This is what it says. This is provision access number one. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. You know what? If there's sin in your life, number one, God gives you the opportunity to judge your own self. I've given you these before, but I'm going to give you again tonight. Number one, He's given you an opportunity to judge your own self. The Holy Spirit of God, He works as a metal detector. You sin, the metal detector goes off, ding, 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 ding. There's sin in my life. I need to get it right. That's what He works. He works as a metal detector. Metal goes through the metal detector, it starts hollering. And it's aggravating until you take care of it. Unless you turn the sensitivity button down. And a lot of Christians do. They turn that sensitivity level down and their conscience is seared with a hot iron. We ain't got time to go there. But number one, He allows you the provision. He allows you to take care of sin if your own self. If you will. But what if I don't, preacher? What if I don't take care of it myself? All right, number two, Galatians chapter number six takes effect. Galatians chapter six, verse number one says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, kick him while he's down. That's what we do a lot of times, ain't it? Ye which are spiritual, I mean, kick him while he's down. Hallelujah. Praise God for it. No, he says, brother, if a man be overtaken in the fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now, if you don't follow 1 Corinthians 11:31, then Galatians chapter number 6, verse 1 takes effect. And guess what? If you don't take care of sin your own self, He'll send you a preacher. He'll send you a Sunday school teacher. He'll send you a associate pastor. He'll send a deacon to in some way or another, in meekness and in love, present that to you. Say, hey, brother, don't you think that you might ought to get that right? Don't you think that might be wrong? You think you might ought to get that right? I'll pray with you if you'd like to get it right. I'll pray with you right now. Huh? Say, preacher, what if I disregard that? All right, if you disregard that, Hebrews chapter number 12, verse 6 takes effect. It's all in the process. Guess what? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. You know what that means? An old-fashioned going to the woodshed where there's bloodshed. Hallelujah. There'll be a little bit more of that going on with our kids today. My daddy beat the tired of me. It didn't hurt me. You may want to question that, but it really didn't. It didn't warp my personality. John says maybe, but I don't know. You know what God does? He says, all right, I'll let you try. I give you an opportunity to do it yourself. You remember that message on it Sunday morning? I tried to give you an opportunity to do it yourself. You wouldn't do it. I even sent the preacher by your house to talk with you about it, or the deacon by your house to talk about it, and you wouldn't. He tried to restore you, and you wouldn't restore. So guess what I have to do? God's going to take his belt off. And hey, listen, God's a big God. Now, my daddy, back in his younger days, he was big too. And when he took his belt off, man, you could hear it coming through the little blues. And son, you took off running. I'm telling you what, it was fixing to be shouting hallelujah time around the house. And what he do? He sets you on the edge of bed, read Hebrews chapter 12 to you, and then he tells you this crazy thing like, it's going to hurt me worse it hurts you. Crazy. And beats the tired of you. And if that don't work, say, preacher, what if that don't work? Well, listen, I don't know when this will happen. This is a long way down the... He may do step one, step two, 100 different times. He may do step three. He may beat the tired of you. But this last statement, don't take me wrong, but this last one will happen as a last resort. And the last one is 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 5. 5 is the number of death in the Bible. To turn such a one over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved. Say, preacher, you really believe Christians have died early? I sure do. And I know some that if they don't get right, now I'm not talking about anybody, I've got some people in mind that just used to be preachers, I'm talking about, and Sunday school teachers, and now they're in the world knowing good and right that ain't right. They know good and well it ain't right. They know they're living wrong. And Listen, if something don't happen, if they don't heed that personal judgment, if they don't heed that person trying to tell them, if they don't heed those whoopings from God, if this person is saved, they're going to get a whooping from God. If they don't heed that, there will come a day. Listen, you better believe, I believe this all my heart, that Christian will go to an early grave because they have grieved the Holy Spirit to that point. Now, you don't have to believe that, but I do. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5 is still in the Bible. And it is a last resort. So what is our job tonight? We want to be spiritual, right? Yes, we do want to be spiritual. Then what? Quench not the Holy Spirit of God. And what else? Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed to the day of redemption. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight for these that gather. Appreciate your patience. Lord, I went a little long tonight, but God, I wanted to get this information out. Lord...